It is good to be back here this morning and know that there's still some mirth in the place. No, I think David's here for the long haul. I'm here a little less long than he is, but there you go. But, happy birthday, 75. Well done. I just want you to know, too, on Christmas Eve is a very special occasion. I have suffered deprivation over many years, 74 years it will be. It's very difficult to compete with Jesus at Christmas time. So it was always for your Christmas and your birthday.
Yes.
One gift, same size, same value for 2 days. I was deprived. Anyhow, I don't want to spend time on that. Yes, get the violins out. I want to talk this morning about breaking curses. And a lovely verse that we have to start with is from 1 John chapter 3, verse 8. The Son of God. So we've been talking about the Son of God appearing. We've been singing about the Son of God appearing. But in 1 John we read this. The Son of God appeared for this purpose, to destroy the works of the devil. That's what he came for. We wouldn't be here today if Jesus hadn't come and destroyed the works of the devil. This word destroy here simply means, well, let me put it this way. Do you ever remember, some of you older ones would remember, when they brought out this little dish that you could stick to the wall that would hold the soap? Any of you remember that? You see now that date, or some are younger. Yes, very good. Well done. There's some younger ones. Well, do you remember, it was okay for a while, but then one day you're there and the thing starts to come off the wall. And the soap drops in the shower or in the bath. It came unstuck. And that's this word here. When Jesus died on Calvary's cross and finished the work his Father gave him to do, the devil's works became unstuck. And Jesus could say, I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And I have the keys of death and of Hades. We're winners today. In Christ, all of us here are winners. Back in Basingstoke, this is many years ago, probably about 35 years ago, there was a young man who had been a Hell's Angel. And he had a tattoo on his arm saying that he was a Hell's Angel, which really was a vow. It was a covenant with the devil. The problem was this, that he now wanted it removed. And he went to the elders and asked the elders if they could financially help him with a loan for him to have that surgically removed. So he was very intense about what had happened in the past and clearing the way for the future. Well, the day came for his water baptism. And when he was baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son Jesus and of the Holy Spirit, as he came up out of the water, that tattoo was gone. The power, we sang in the school the other day, Jesus is more great, is greater than. Isn't that true? Well, we sang that up a trail as well. Same song. And he is. There is nothing that Jesus isn't greater than. And it came out in prayer this morning as well. Now, obedience is to God's commands is very important. And I want to just lay a foundation before we go on to talk about breaking of curses. In 1 John 5, verse 3, we read, for this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. Now, how many of you this morning would like to know that the Father and his Son Jesus desires to come and make their abode with us, to live with us, to live in us. Now, I'd like you to take your Bibles, and we're going to read from John 14, verses 21 to 23. John chapter 14, verses 21-23. All right. Whoever has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. Judas, not Iscariot, said to him, Lord, how is it that you will manifest yourself to us and not to the world? And this is the answer of Jesus. If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. Now, there's been a lot of stuff over about the last 40 or 50 years that basically puts down law, commandments. Old Testament, they've divided off and said, well, that's the Old Testament. We live in the age of grace. Well, we also live in the age of God's commands, in particular the commands of Jesus. And so you may find this interesting. There are 613 commands in the Old Testament. And by the way, I just want to pick, there are many, many commands. One of which, if broken, carries a curse on the one disobeying. And that's Deuteronomy 27:17. Cursed is he who dishonors his father or mother. That's a very serious. This is God saying this. It is God doing it. Now, in the New Testament, you have this number, 1,050 commands in the New Testament. There are more commands in the New Testament than there are in the Old. Again, this is very important that we say, well, what's Barney up to, talking about commands, when his message title is Breaking the Power of Curses? Well, this is what I'm up to. Without obeying his commands, there is no release from curses being broken. And I'm thinking about one particular command. It's only five words. I'm not going to tell it to you now. It's only five words, but it is the key that if you've had curses, either cursing yourself or cursing others or being cursed, the key is in those five words. Let me just say in the Old Testament and to do with God, things that God, where curses are attached. In Deuteronomy 8:9-14, when you enter the land which the Lord your God gives you, you shall not learn to imitate the detestable things of those nations. One of those was divination. Divination or witching, water witching. You may be aware of, you know, where they go looking for water, and there are those in quotes who have a gift of it. I want to tell you that gift is not the gift of the Holy Spirit. It's a demonic gift, because there is no, there's no way that just holding two sticks and looking for the water and suddenly the sticks go down. That's demonic. And God said, you're not allowed to do that sort of thing. It is detestable. He went through a whole list of things there. Ouija board. One of the things I've been finding, in fact, I've been preaching this message now since being in New Zealand, Jeanette and I. And Jeanette and I, we prayed for so many people there in New Zealand. It was amazing. But what has amazed me is how many people have played with the Ouija board. You know, when I was up in Warfield recently, there's a group in one school of children, 11-year-olds, who are playing with the Ouija board. It's just a game. No, it isn't. I know a friend of mine. There was a guy in the university where he was, and he had invited this fella to come along to a service of the church that he was part of. And this guy said, well, on one condition. He said, I'll come if you'll come to one of our Ouija board exercises. And he felt the peace of God to do that, trusting that whilst he was there, it would not happen. And that's exactly what happened. He went along, nothing happened. Afterwards, after he left, they then went back to the Ouija board and asked the spirit of the Ouija board why it was that the spirit didn't appear when this fellow was in there. And the Ouija board answered this: because he is a son of God. Jesus is greater. Jesus is greater. Jesus said this to his disciples. He said, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do what I tell you? Let me talk just a bit, just one verse really, about Christians who curse other Christians. I've had this done to me. At one time, I don't know how many years ago, but there was a group of women who met for prayer to pray against me, and their prayer was that I would be pulled down, that I would be finished, ministry-wise, I suppose that it was. They specially went for that. That was a curse. And again, I bless those women this morning, because that's the answer. That's the key, as we've come to. James 3, verses 8 to 10, but no one can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil and full of deadly poison. With it we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in the image of God. That's very important. From the same mouth come both blessing and cursing. My brethren, so he's talking to believers. My brethren, these things ought not to be this way. So let me start just with the first list of here to do with us here this morning. The curse of I am useless. The other day I was talking to someone and this person had a couple of bad days at the office, and basically he made some mistakes, etc., etc. And he actually looked in the mirror, talked to himself in the mirror, and said to himself, you know what? You're useless. You're absolutely useless. But that's not what God says. God doesn't say that you are useless. Gideon was afraid. And he was afraid of the arch enemies of the Midianites, that they would attack them and thrash the wheat in the wine. And so he thrashed wheat in the wine press instead of out in the open. Suddenly the angel of the Lord appears and announces to Gideon, the Lord is with you, you mighty man of valor. And if you're saying you're useless, let me tell you something. You are not. You are very useful to the purposes of God. And you are a man of valor. And you are a woman of valor. It's a sin to say, I am useless, because you are conflicting with God, who says, no, you're not. I formed you. I made you. I have a plan and a purpose for your life. Don't say you're useless. You are very useful to the purposes of God. And not only in this fellowship, But out there on the streets where Austin and others go there and sharing the gospel and taking care and help to people who are in need, that's very useful. In fact, God has a special blessing for those who take the poor into their home or reach out to the poor and the needy. And it's out of that that the life of God springs forth amongst you. The more you give yourselves to the poor and the needy, the more the river of God's life will flow in you and through you to others. Because when you do that, you're actually ministering to the Lord Jesus. And there's a thirst in your heart. If any man thirst, let him come unto me, Jesus said, and drink. And he that believeth out of his innermost being shall flow rivers of living water, rivers of love, rivers of kindness, rivers of mercy, rivers of joy, rivers of the wonderful news, the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, flowing out of your innermost being. And the scripture ends with this and saying, this he spoke concerning the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit loves to move in action wherever we are doing the commands of God, which is don't forget the poor. That was a command. Paul said, and remember the poor. That's a command in the New Testament. And so Gideon argues. He said, the angel of the Lord appears to him. The Lord is with you, you mighty man of valor. Gideon replies, please, sir, if the Lord is with us, why are we in this mess? That's a little bit of a paraphrase there. The Lord has forsaken us and given us into the hand of Midian. The Lord totally disregarded that and simply said, go in this might of yours. Do not I send you? Again, Gideon argues back, please, Lord, how can I save Israel? Well, he can't, of course. He said, my clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house. So what is he saying? I'm useless. I'm useless. Well, he wasn't. What was God's answer to him? Because it was the Christophany of the Lord Jesus, as far as I see it. The Lord responds and says this, I will be with you. That changes your uselessness into usefulness. Seriously. The Lord is with you. That's the key. That the Lord is with you. When I say I'm useless, that's music in the devil's ears. And he whispers as well into your ears, and you will never be anything different than useless. I want to say this, that's a lie of the devil. And we need to start declaring who we are in the Lord Jesus. Men and women of valor, mighty men and women of valor, mighty young men and women of valor who are sitting here this morning. Another one is I'm a failure. If you are only a failure if you live independently of the Holy Spirit. If you fail to humble yourself by confessing your sin, then you will be walking in being a failure. You know, it's interesting, though, that Jesus, he's talking to his disciples, and Peter has just said, though they all fail you, I won't. You can count on me. And Jesus said, oh, Peter, before the cock crows in the morning, you will have already denied me three times. But after you have been converted, repented, etc., go and strengthen your brethren. Peter was ordained to strengthen the other brothers and sisters before he messed up by failing. And I bet you this morning, I better not say that's not a good word. I bet you, I guarantee that there's quite a number of us who serve the Lord, me included, two hands up and one leg up, who knows what it is to have been a failure and for the Lord to use me. I stand here today by the grace of God, by the mercy of God, and because by the grace of God, my heart was opened up to the Lord. And by the grace of God, I was obedient to the call of God on my life. Jesus said to his disciples, "You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should abide, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you." Another one, a confession. I'm ugly. Now, you'd be surprised how many women, and this, I now know it by the testimonies of people since last September, who have shared this when I've talked about being ugly. You know, it's interesting. Some of these women are very attractive. But they look in that mirror, and whatever it is they don't like about that face, it doesn't measure up to what their image of what they should look like. Not God's image. And they say, "I am ugly." Well, I want to tell you, every one of you ladies here today are beautiful in the eyes of God, clothed in the righteousness of Jesus. You're not ugly, you're beautiful. "I wish I'd never been born." There's another one. This is very serious. See, God has a destiny for each one of us here today, a plan and purpose for our lives. Job did this. Job 3 verse 1 says, "After this, Job opened his mouth and cursed the day of his birth." In verse 11, he goes on to say, "Why did I not die at birth, come out from the womb and expire?" Now, he was going through heavy-duty testing. No question about that. But he wished and cursed the day of his birth. At the end of the book of Job, Job says this, "I know that you can do all things, and no purpose of yours can be thwarted. Who is this that hides counsel without knowledge? Therefore, I have uttered what I did not understand." I want to say something. Most of us here today who have confessed against ourselves and cursed ourselves, most of it was innocent. It's not thought about. You never thought to yourself, "You know, this is very seriously. I'm seriously wrong in doing this." And so here's Job, and he said, "I've uttered things I did not understand, things too wonderful for me, which I did not know. I had heard of you by the hearing of the ear, but now my eye sees thee. Therefore, I despise myself." By the way, that's the only time you can despise yourself, when it comes to your sin and the badness of it. And I still sometimes, I don't know about you, and maybe I'm different, but every now and again, usually when I'm in bed, or waking up in the morning, or I wake up in the middle of the night and I can't get back to sleep again, somehow I begin to think about the bad things that I did when I was a kid. But then I go back, and maybe the devil joins in that, because he's the accuser of the brethren, and I learn to thank Jesus that his grace has been extended to me. His mercy has been extended to me. And someone else shared that with me recently, and I said, "Well, the same thing happened to me that same week." And this was a person who's, you know, a preacher of the gospel. "I hate myself. I hate myself." A confession, which sometimes includes mutilation, self-mutilation, cutting oneself. But you know, when that happens, it's destroying the temple of the Holy Spirit, which is our bodies. And Jesus said this. It says of Jesus, "He loved me." He didn't hate me. He loved me, and he gave himself for me. These self-curses need to be renounced and repented of. These confessions are ultimately against God. But we need to see Psalm 139, I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it very well. Now, being cursed by others. Jeanette asked me that I wouldn't share this, but I think I still will do, dear. I will be met the boss in my own home, well, in the pulpit. At home, I'm an obedient husband. Jeanette says, that'd be the day. Jeanette's version of long-suffering is I'm long and she's suffering. But worse than that, I'm tall and in the dark handsome. Not good. I treat that almost as a curse. You know, Jeanette's mum would always put Jeanette down at any idea that Jeanette would take on something new. And that was all through her life. Now we're married and we're visiting the home, and Jeanette is telling her mum she's learning to drive. And her mother, I heard it from the other room. Her mum said, oh, you can't do that. And I said, oh, yes, she can. And she will. The day came for the driving test, and Jeanette and I, Mark and I drove along in our car whilst Jeanette did her test. And I said to Mark, Mark, come on, let's pray for Mummy. Mark must have been about 5 years of age at the time. So I said, so Mark, you pray first of all. Dear Lord Jesus, help Mummy as she takes a driving test. And when she fails, may she not be too disappointed. To which I prayed, Lord, cancel that prayer. This is all true. And she passed the test. People who parents, dads and mums say this sort of stuff. You'll never amount to anything. That's what Winston Churchill's father said. He would never amount to anything. Well, he just happened to become Prime Minister of England. I think that's quite good. And when he left the king, having been given the whatever it is, the documents to take his position as Prime Minister, he said words similar to this. He said, as I was driven away, he said, it came to me that I was born for this purpose. I was born for this purpose. And he was. The nation and the nations of the world needed inspiring, and he had the gift of inspiration to other. We shall fight on the beaches, we will fight in the air, and we'll never, never, never give in. Was that good art? Very good, very good, very good. You know what? When we say that to our children, we are contradicting what God says. God says he has a plan for our lives, a destiny. And we need to learn as parents how to encourage our children. You know, a lot of children, a lot of parents, all the child ever hears, don't do that, don't touch that. And it's negative, negative, negative. We need to learn to sow into our children. Look, what do? When they're little tots and they draw you a picture, you know, you actually don't know what it is. There might be one eyeball in there somewhere, and you say, oh, that's wonderful. Off they toddle, especially if you hang it up. In fact, we have stuff. In fact, I looked at that one in our bedroom, dear. I think, was it Justine that put that funny picture that you've got hanging there? And you don't worry. But at the cabin, that's where we put a lot of them. We have all these pictures everywhere, the children, you know. And but, you know, a child, off they toddle, they come back with another one. I mean, as quick as you like. You say, oh, that is lovely. Off they go again, get another one. You get a whole pile of them if you're not careful. affirming, blessing them. God does this to do. You know, there's going to be a day when we meet Jesus. And I trust this would be for all of us, because if we are wearing the righteousness of Jesus and we have been walking in the call of God on our lives, we could hear those words, well done. Well done, you good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your Lord. You have given me joy. I remember little Devon, when she was a baby, we were on a ferry going across to Gabriola Island, and I'm just so thrilled with her, just so thrilled with her. And the noise of the engine and all that of the boat, but I'm singing on the top of my voice, you light up my life, you give me hope to carry on. I'm singing on the top of my voice. Because that's what I meant. That's who little Devon was, and she is now 24 years of age. She is still that to me. She's the joy of my life. I learned a way of saying things like this. You know, Devon, you are my favorite eldest granddaughter. And it took a little while for them to realize what I just said. Finding ways of affirming. We don't need to curse our children, telling them what they can't do. A kid comes home with his report. Straight A's, but one of them is a B. And that's the one the father looks at and says, I noticed you failed. You'd only got a B. Putting it down. The cup, the glass is half empty. We need to fill the other half of that cup up and bless our children. Oh, they're naughty. But when they are naughty and they have to have a little treatment concerning that, the most important thing that you can say to your child is, I love you. I love you. Devon, Rachel, she's 44, she still loves me telling that story of how she stole Daddy's toffees. And she was in the car, and popped into the Christian bookshop in Basingstoke, came out, and there she was, her mouth stuffed with toffees, with it running down her mouth. And she says, Daddy, I haven't been touching your toffees. So if you lied to Daddy, you did get a little spanking. And I sat her on my knee, and I said to her, Rachel, I want you to know this, sweetheart. There was never a moment that I stopped loving you. She still wants to hear that story at 44 years of age. Tell them the story, Daddy, about when I stole the toffees. She loves those words there. Damn you, go to hell. They're all curses against us. So I've already shared with you, what is that five-word command? It is this: bless those who curse you. That is the key that takes you out from under that curse. It's a command of the Lord Jesus. It is not optional. To disobey this is disobedience. That's an Irish way of saying it. It is. So it's a command to us this morning. If you have been cursed by others, it is to bless them. Now, let me give you some illustrations here. Judson Cornwall, great Bible teacher, and he went through a season in his life, he was getting older, it was strange. His whole body seemed getting weaker and weaker, and he had no energy. When he taught, he would sit on a stool, and whilst he was there teaching, the anointing of the Holy Spirit would come upon him, and he had the strength to really let it out. The minute he got off that stool, back it came again. One day, a young couple came and knocked on his door at the house he lived in, and he invited them in. He knew them. He said, "So what can I do for you?" And they said, "Well, actually, Brother Cornwall, we believe God has got something from us for you." Oh, so he said he was a bit irritated. So what is it? And they said, "Well, Brother Cornwall, have you ever been cursed?" And he said, "No." It's like the Holy Spirit said, "Well, that was a very quick answer." And he stopped. He said, "Well, actually, yes." He said, "On one occasion in Africa," he said, "a witch doctor, my arms were pinned behind my back, and a witch doctor put a curse on me." And he said, "Another occasion," he said, "I was preaching, and a woman stood up, a false prophetess, and prophesied against me whilst I was preaching and saying evil things against me." So they said, "Well, Brother Cornwall, have you done what Jesus said you're to do?" And it's interesting, this great Bible teacher, his mind went blank. And he couldn't think. He had a senior moment. And he said, "What did he say?" And they said, Jesus said, "Bless them that curse you." And he started blessing them. He blessed the witch doctor, blessed the woman who prophesied against him, blessed them in their health, blessed them in their finances, blessed them in their relationships, blessed them in all sorts of different ways. And as he is doing this, the power of God comes on top of him from the crown of his head to the soles of his feet. He was instantly healed. Now, you may not know, some of you know very well Washington. Michael knows Washington very well. Washington Ayuka is a Ugandan. He's an oncologist. But there was a time in his life where he started to have trouble, and they deemed that it was heart trouble. He went from Uganda to Kenya, and they said, basically, there's nothing we can do. You need to go to somewhere in England. So eventually, he ends up in Guy's Hospital for heart surgery. They did not know what was causing this problem. All they knew that they had a sense the heart was damaged. And I've got all this. Any one of you want the testimony, I can give you the testimony. And so they did a surgery on him. They told him there was a risk to this. And so he had this surgery. And basically, all it did was to confirm that the heart was damaged. The next night, during the night after that, suddenly there was, there was a lot of pain and so on. And basically, they rushed him back into the theater again, and the stitches had burst. And so here he was, and they said to him, "Tom, we're sorry, old chap, but there's nothing we can do. There's just nothing. You'll die." And so he said, "Well, I don't want to die here." And he went to a friend of his, another doctor, and stayed there. And it was there that Tom said this. He said, he sent for the elders. I need to send for the elders in Basingstoke. Bruce Blow was one of them. David Downer was the other, who went up to him, traveled up to London where he was. And one of the questions they said to Tom, and by the way, on the way up there, the Lord gave to Bruce three African names. Now, I know sometimes the African names are difficult to pronounce. Is that right? Just a little bit difficult. Especially the Burundian ones and the Congolese ones. I still can't pronounce the president's name properly in Burundi. But he's a nice guy. So Bruce gets these three names. And whilst they're praying with Tom, they said, Tom, have you ever been cursed? And Tom said, yes, I believe I have. He said, what do these names mean to you? And he knew those names. He said, they're not Christians. But he said, I thought they were my friends. And they said, well, Tom, Jesus said, bless them that curse you. And Tom began to bless these three people. The same thing happened to him. You can ask him when he's next time he's around. The power of God went right through him. And in one instance, he was totally healed. The curse was broken and he was free. Within a week, he was down in Bournemouth, splashing around in the sea down in Bournemouth. Within a week. And he's still as fit as a fiddle these days, bless him. I think of another situation. And I'll be drawing this to a close. Jeanette and I were praying with a lady recently, and her mother had said to her, cursed her, very angry. She said, you're going to end up in a mental hospital. That's what you're going to do. That's a curse. And that lady that day decided to bless her mother. And by the way, let me encourage you, keep on blessing. Keep on blessing. Grow in your blessing of those who curse you. But many years ago, I preached this message to a combined gathering of churches in the city of Exeter in southwest England. In the meeting that night was a woman whose mother had been cursed by her mother's sister, who said, you wait and see, you're going to come to a dreadful end. And she repeated that to this mother, this woman's mother. This mother lived in constant fear for the rest of her life, wondering, imagining what this was going to be like, this dreadful end. So this lady was in this congregation that night. She went home and told her mother what I had been preaching, and then invited her mother, if the mother was willing, to bless her sister. And the mother said, of course. I think she must have been 80 years of age or that thereabouts. So she started to bless her sister, and her daughter joined in as well. And they continued blessing, and then finally they stopped. And the mother just leaned back in the armchair and went to be with Jesus. I got a letter 3 weeks later from that lady telling what had happened. That was her testimony. And she couldn't be, I mean, you'd think, oh, mother's died, that wasn't good. Oh, no, it was. It was wonderful for this woman because she'd seen the torment. For, and here was God saying, look, see, bless them that curse you. So let me finish with this. What do we do with this morning? Well, this is what we're going to do. If God has spoken to you, I'm thinking particularly about the self-curses, we're going to do this. We're going to declare that salvation, deliverance, belongs to the Lord. Secondly, we're going to declare Jesus to be Lord over my life, over your life, concerning the past, the present, and the future. We're going to confess that because Jesus was made a curse for me at Calvary's cross, my curse or curses can be broken. And Jesus was made a curse, because cursed is anyone, any man, who is hung on a tree. That's repeated in the New Testament. It's out of the Old Testament as well. Next, we're going to repent of the curses we have put on ourselves and renounce them in the name of Jesus. Next, where applicable, we're going to confess our sin. Those things that we have confessed against ourselves, actually that is sin. And we're going to confess it, repent of it, and renounce it, turn from it. And next, we're going to forgive, first of all, those who have cursed us. And then finally, we're going to bless those who have cursed you. Now, it's very important that it's verbal, and a whisper is fine. So we don't want to uncover other people here today. But when it comes to naming, just illustrate this. If I had put a curse on Jeanette, for Jeanette would be, and I bless Barney. I bless him. So you can put it in a whisper. No, you can hear this because it's being amplified. But it's crucial that you do this. When you name a person, there is something that happens. It's like the name of Jesus. When we come to the Heavenly Father in the name of Jesus, there is something that happens there. And there's something when we identify and put that name on our lips. So if God has spoken to you and you are making a choice this morning about blessing those people or confessing a sin of what you've done yourself, I'm going to ask you to stand. What was that, stand? Yes, those who are standing, yeah, that's they're them, they're okay. There's some you're not standing.
No. I don't know what you asked.
Oh, I asked them if they are going to bless, put right. Also, if it's a sin that's confessed, to stand. And I'm going to lead you through the words that we're going to speak. I'm going to pray first of all. Father, I do just lift everyone who is standing before you this morning. Father, I thank you. Your truth is they are not mistakes. You love them. Your heart's desire is for their welfare. And they're exceedingly precious to you. Father, I pray for the anointing now of the Holy Spirit to be upon me, to be upon everyone who is standing here, and those who are sitting, Lord. I pray for the anointing to be on them as they join with me in leading these statements, these confessions. And Lord, I desire and receive the security that you have put here in this church of the elders, and that Lord, together this day we put our trust in you, Lord, and the authority that you've given to us to deal with these curses or these sins. And Lord, we take captive, because right now there are still some sitting and they're wrestling. Lord, we take captive every thought to the obedience of Jesus Christ. So if you repeat after me, I declare that salvation belongs to the Lord. I declare that Jesus be Lord over my life, my past, my present, and my future. I confess that because Jesus was made a curse for me at Calvary's cross, my curse or curses can be broken. Next, I repent and renounce the curses I have put on myself. I confess that I am in the likeness of God because of the righteousness of Jesus. I confess. And I confess this in the name of Jesus. And then quietly, while we continue here, right now, where applicable, confess your sin and turn from it. Just a whisper. Next, by your grace, I forgive those who have cursed me. And by your grace, Lord Jesus, I bless those who have cursed me. I bless them in their health, in their finances, in their relationships, in their thoughts. I bless their loved ones. I pray for peace in their family. And most of all, I pray for their salvation. Father, together with the elders here, we bow our hearts before the throne of Jesus. And together in the name of Jesus, we break the power of the curses that we have heard about this day. We break the power of them in the name of Jesus. We pray for the Holy Spirit to come even now and to drive out every influence of Satan in their lives that is attached to these curses. In the name of Jesus, we release them into their destiny in the Lord Jesus. We say, fear be gone in the name of Jesus. Faith be poured out in the name of Jesus. Righteousness in the name of Jesus. Holiness in the name of Jesus. Boldness in the name of Jesus. Every way that Satan has, as it were, shackled our brothers and sisters, Lord, in the name of Jesus, we break those chains this day and release them into all that you have planned and purposed for them. We bless their children. We bless their parents. We bless their relationships, their family links, all of it in the name of Jesus. And Father, we thank you that you watch over your word to perform it. We have preached from your word this day. Lord, that's our part in obedience to you. But only you can make this happen in their lives daily. In Jesus' name, amen. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art.
How great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art. How great thou art.